prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We have a great show. I say that every day, but you know what? I sincerely believe that every show is great for one reason or another. Today, first, we're going to be joined by Dr. Brad Schoenfeld to talk about, does fasted cardio really burn more fat, or is that just bro science? And get this, I don't know the answer to this question, so we're both going to learn the answer in just a moment. Then, Joshua Whipday is going to join us to talk about an episode of Muscle Saves Lives. This is a remarkable story about a guy who overcame some of the greatest adversity and is really doing things that no one ever would have predicted he would be able to do, and it's all because of physical culture. Then we're going to change it up, and we're going to be joined by Dr. Stephanie Howe to talk about the role of exercise and diet on appetite and energy uptake. This is a good one for those out there who think that all exercise does is increase your appetite. But let's get started. Dr. Schoenfeld, how are you?
I'm doing great, Carl. Great to be back with you.
Yeah, and this is you know what I love about you? You tackle this stuff that really is out there, and it's ubiquitous. It's out there, it's everywhere, and it's automatically assumed that it's true. I was first told that doing first thing in the morning fasted cardio, get this, was 300% more effective than cardio any other time of the day after eating by the IFBB professional bodybuilder, Porter Cottrell. And he used that number, 300%. He said, so doing 20 minutes in the morning fasted was like doing an hour any other time of the day. And so this has been around forever. I mean, Porter hasn't competed in, I don't know, since the 80s, I guess. And this has been something that's been around forever in the bro sphere, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I think he probably got that from the Bill Phillips Body for Life book, because Bill Phillips was the first one I knew that really heavily promoted this. Certainly, he popularized the strategy, and that was carried out in his book Body for Life, and which sold like a gazillion copies. So that would be my guess.
Now, before you drop any bombs and reveal what research provided in this area, it does kind of make sense, right? You've been fasted throughout the night, 8, 10, maybe 12 hours. You get up in the morning, you're already fasted. The body would go for fat stores because that's what it's most prone to utilize, because there's nothing in your stomach. Does that make sense, or is it not even make sense from a casual standpoint?
No, well, it does. First of all, the strategy was actually based in scientific literature in the sense that until the study that I just carried out, it was all based on acute data, meaning that they would do a bout of exercise fasted and a bout of exercise fed, and they would measure fat burning for a period immediately after the, or during and sometimes immediately after, but generally during the activity. They're going to measure how much fat is being burned as you're exercising, and the studies clearly did show, at least some of them, depending upon how they were carried out, greater fat oxidation, which is fat burning, during a fasted versus fed bout. So that does have some degree of logic behind it. However, here's what I'll say. Number one, fat burning doesn't take place in a vacuum, that you don't want to just look at what happens in the immediate period that you're doing exercise. You really need to consider what happens over time. And by the way, I wrote a review topic on this paper back in 2010 for the NSCA Strength and Conditioning Journal and started touching on some of these things. So it doesn't take into account the thermic effect of eating before. So it's been shown that post-exercise you get greater fat burning because of when you eat before, it increases the thermic effect of that food, and actually you get greater thermogenesis following the bout during a fed state. So you have to, the point here is that you have to consider 24-hour, 3-day, 5-day, 7-day fat burning, not just what's happening at that moment that you're doing the exercise.
And see, I've done it just because it's easier to get up first thing in the morning and get on the treadmill or hit the streets if it's sunny out. than have a meal first and then do it. But I've always questioned whether it was made sense from the standpoint of, okay, so you're fasted. That doesn't mean the body doesn't have access to glycogen to flood the bloodstream with glucose. So it's not going to go right for fat stores immediately unless you're completely carb depleted. Then I go, okay, yeah, maybe that makes sense then. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, muscle glycogen does not get completely, as a matter of fact, most of it, it's doesn't get much depleted at all after an overnight fast. Really, where muscle glycogen is going to get heavily depleted is when you're ketogenic, when you're really limiting your carb intake. So it's mostly the liver glycogen that's getting depleted, and your obviously any blood-borne glucose that's in your body. But what I will say is that the studies do show that if you're doing especially slow distance for long periods of time, you will ultimately burn more fat during the activity than you would during fasted than you would during fed.
Okay, so now did you, and again, remember, I didn't review the research, so I'm in the blind about this. Did you actually do a study or did you do a review of the available research?
Well, I did a review, like I said, about 4 years ago. So this study so we carried out an original research study, which was the first study to actually look at fasted cardio during a caloric deficit. So there have been a couple of studies where they let people eat ad libitum. Basically, they were just eating whatever they wanted, and that you really can't study fat burning in that type of context.
Right,
they didn't monitor their food intake. So here we actually gave them a diet, put them in a caloric deficit, and then had them, we did a controlled study where they either they were fed or they were fasted and did aerobic exercise 3 days a week. And we carried this out over 4 weeks. The study was carried out in young women, premenopausal women who were non-obese. So BMI under 30 was the inclusion criteria there. And we carried it out for 4 weeks. We did pre-testing and we did post-testing of their body fat levels. So body fat, lean mass, scale weight. We also did waist circumference, and we then, I don't know if you want to know the results now.
No. Well, I got more questions. So you assessed their body fat. Did you use Caliper or did you?
No. We used what's called a BOD pod, air displacement plethysmography, which is a very well recognized. It uses similar technology to underwater weighing, except it uses air displacement. So it's quite accurate. There are some issues with any type of measurement device, but you know, over the course of a lot of subjects, you will get very reliable results.
Okay, so. Why did you use premenopausal women, and why women in this research?
Well, because we did not want to give we wanted to make sure that the subjects did not resistance train, because that could confound. We felt that the addition of resistance training might confound how much. If we're going to do resistance training, we would have had to physically train everyone so they had the same amount of resistance training. Or else some people could be doing tons of resistance work. So we were able to control this group a lot better. These were non-resistance training women. And we just didn't have the manpower to carry out a study where they also would be resistance trained. So basically we wanted premenopausal women because we felt that the hormonal profile of postmenopausal women would potentially put things in a...
It would have its own set of problems that you would have to try to adjust for. Now, were these women doing any type of cardio aerobic exercise prior to the research?
Yeah, all of the women were cardiovascularly trained. Some actually had resistance training experience, so it was kind of a mix of subjects. We had some track athletes who were off-season, who were not doing any... They agreed not to do resistance training for the 4 weeks of the study, and it was during the rough season. We had just some regular folk who were, but all of them had some degree of aerobic experience. Most of them we got from the gym. So they were actually they were in the gym. They would see the flyer, or they would be approached by one of our research subjects to ask them if they wanted to participate. So yes, all of them were considered recreationally to somewhat more than recreationally trained.
And just out of curiosity, while this doesn't play into the research, how many of them had already believed this premise that doing fasted cardio resulted in more body fat loss?
We didn't ask them, so I really wouldn't know. That wasn't something that we had endeavored to to look into it. It's actually an interesting
question. I'm just curious if any of them were doing morning fasted cardio prior to the research. Okay, so here's what we're going to do in the good radio style. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, Dr. Brad Schoenfeld is going to drop the bomb and let you know whether doing fasted cardio makes a difference. In the meantime, real quick, Brad, let's plug your website, lookgreatnaked.com, right?
Correct, yeah. And I have a blog, too, lookgreatnaked.com. Lots of free stuff there, so please visit.
Check it out. All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Anabolicminds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit Anabolicminds.com today and get into the action. Anabolicminds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing, and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer e-books, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out getds.com.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
господа, через несколько секунд выйдут на сцену Шкули Медиа. Новонервных беременных и детей просим удалиться из зала. Остальным лечь на пол и задержать дыхание!
What she just said was, step back, because you're going to feel a lot of heat coming out of your speakers, because Dr. Brad Schoenfeld is going to drop an atomic bomb on everybody. That's what she said, Brad. I'm serious. I paid for her to do that. Anyway, okay, so what did you find?
Okay, so again, just to reiterate, the study was designed specifically to look at a chronic effect rather than just this acute, trying to extrapolate acute data, which doesn't necessarily extrapolate to long term. We wanted to look at this topic. Do people actually lose body fat, more body fat, when they do fasted cardio? And the results were pretty much as we had expected. There was really no difference between groups. There were certainly no significant differences, and the minimal effects between groups were attributed to chance statistically. So there was no difference in body fat loss, there was no difference in lean mass loss, no difference in scale weight loss, and no difference in waist circumference between either fasted versus fed cardio.
So the bottom line is, if you like doing fasted cardio because it's more convenient, then do it. But you're not hurting yourself by having a meal and then doing cardio immediately after.
That is exactly the case. And I'm going to say there's several caveats to this. So, yeah, for the general population, I'm highly confident that we can say that it really will not be if there is any difference, it would not be meaningful to a general population, to the average person who's just looking to go to the gym, lose weight, get fit. Now, here's what I'll say. There are some limitations to the study that do need to be taken into account, because we can't just throw out a study and say, well, this is a definitive word. Number one, as I had mentioned, this was in a female population that was non-obese, so we weren't looking at a bodybuilding sub 10% body fat. Now, there has been some people have speculated that if you are very low in body fat, that you might be able to eke out some differences there. I can't rule that out here. I would say if they are there, it would be a small effect. But would that be practically meaningful to a bodybuilder? If it happened, it could. So I couldn't say one way or the other from this. Another important point here was that these women were not locked in a metabolic ward. So we did track their, we tried to be as rigid as possible. We had them fill out a online food diary every night, so we were able to see what they're eating. But when you start having people fill out, especially young, mostly college students filling out food diaries, you can see that they might not be reporting as accurately as they should be. And that was the case here. So on a highly controlled, if we had locked them in a metabolic ward, can I be as confident that they would have had the same results? No. So, again, you can only do that. Unfortunately, studies like that would cost, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to carry out, or certainly where I am it would. So it just wouldn't be a feasible study. And again, these are things that, would they make huge differences based upon statistical probability? No. But I can't rule out that that might have had an effect. And finally, the fact that they were premenopausal as women, we can't rule out that fluctuations in body water. Now, we did do it at 1 month, and pretty much exactly a one-month interval, which would seem to say many women are regular, but some women aren't regular with their menstruation, and potentially that could have caused fluctuations in body water that could have had an effect. The BOD pod does not distinguish. It's a two-compartment model, so from the fat perspective, it would have distinguished, but from the lean mass, it wouldn't. Certainly, the scale doesn't distinguish that. So
why not use men who just don't resistance train but adhere to aerobic exercise as the subjects?
Well, you have to remember where we're getting our subjects from. So it's mostly through the gym. We're in an exercise science area,
right?
And we generally get our subjects through the gym, either through posters. It just would be harder to recruit. The people that are in the gym, usually the guys who are working out, are resistance training, whereas a lot of the women are not, and it just turned out to be easier. And again, I think the women need some recognition too. It's, you know,
I know.
We want to find out whether it works in them too. Now, could you say, look, one study, Carl, I know I get this a lot, like when I carry out a study, and I'm not saying you're doing this, but you always get, well, why didn't you do this and why didn't you do this?
Right.
You can only do so much, and then you carry out more studies. Like one study is never a be all end all, and I think I'm pretty much done on this topic. I have many As you know, my primary focus is on muscle hypertrophy. This was something that had been nagging at me for a while. I wanted to get a study out, but I'll now leave it to others. If they want to actually carry out a study, then they're certainly free to do so.
Let me ask you a question that's interesting to me now. So who funds studies like this when you want to do them?
Well, this was not a funded study. This was supported by Dimatized Nutrition, who on the advisory board for them, and they gave us the meals were the pre and post meals, so the fasted and fed would get a Dimatized Pursuit Recovery,
sure,
which is 20 grams of protein, 40 grams of carbs. So it was basically a 250 calorie meal either before or after, and that was given by Dimatized. But this study was not funded. Now, I do get funded studies through the state of New York. I've had funding. Dimatized themselves have given me grants, been very good with me in terms of providing grants,
right,
for studies. But this one was a non-funded study.
Yeah,
and
I guess
you
it
work
really,
on a shoestring.
Yeah, you really did. I mean, they have cardio equipment there. The girls are going to show up and do cardio anyway, so I can see that. You just have to provide them these meals, and you want the meals to be standardized, that everybody's getting the same meals, so that you have some standardization. That makes perfect sense.
Correct.
Did it matter what type of cardio they did, as long as it was a you know, slow state for X period of minutes?
Well, they all did the same. We wanted to standardize that, so they all did treadmill, walking, jogging. Basically, we kept them in their fat burning zone, if you will. It was a lower steady state, low to moderate steady state exercise, which, by the way, has been, that in the literature has been shown to provide the greatest benefit to fasted cardio. So we did whatever we could to try to mimic what would optimize the fasted effect, or what's purported to fast optimize the fasted effect. They all did treadmill.
And so they were observed when they were doing their treadmill work, right?
Correct. Yeah, they were fully supervised, and the meals were fully supervised too. So they came in fasted. We would give the fed group their shake before the workout, and we would give the fasted group their shake after.
That's perfect.
Under supervision of a research assistant.
Did anyone happen to observe that some? I'm starting to really pick up on the importance of perceived exertion at whatever level of fitness a person is at. The effects of perceived exertion on the body's willingness to give up fat or not give up fat. Did you observe some of these people, even though they were doing moderate cardio, they were struggling with it?
Well, we didn't really observe that. We didn't make a point to observe it. We used the heart rate monitor. We used polar heart rate monitors,
uh-huh,
to keep them at a given heart rate intensity, and these were, again, these were recreational training. These weren't completely sedentary, so we were confident that they were in a zone, that they weren't too fatigued by it. But that, again, does go more towards the literature as to what the literature does show, that if you do, and this is, it's kind of interesting, because Bill Phillips in his book had recommended you do fasted HIIT, high-intensity
right,
interval training. And the problem with that is that studies show that when you're doing fasted work at high intensities, your body breaks down a lot of fat, but it can't, there's a limit, basically it becomes rate limiting, that you can't burn it, and ultimately you burn the same amount of fat, so at a high intensity as you do fed versus fasted, whereas at a low intensity, that's where you actually see the greater oxidation of fat, because the body has the capacity to burn the fat that's available.
And we know that any fat that's not oxidized during the session of exercise is just restored somewhere else. It just gets stored.
Yeah, it gets re-esterified. Exactly.
Yeah.
It gets re-esterified and stored back in fat cells.
This is really great. Did this surprise you, like the results of this?
It did not. Again, I had written a review article on this topic and really delved into it, so I was really quite familiar with the literature, and my research hypothesis was that it wouldn't happen. It would have surprised me. Again, I was willing to see whatever happened. I would have
right,
been somewhat, I wouldn't say I would have been shocked, but I would have been somewhat surprised just based on, if you look at the literature, and by the way, Carl, there's some other interesting things that need to be taken into account. When you're burning fat, when you're burning more fat in a fasted state, it doesn't say where that fat is coming from. And there's something called intramuscular triglycerides,
uh-huh,
intramuscular fat stores. And in trained people, the majority, more than 50% of fat that's being used during an exercise, that is coming within the muscle from these intramuscular stores, not from the belly fat and whatever you'd want to
right,
use. So, again, to burn that fat, does not have the same effect, or certainly that's not what most people are looking to do.
Right.
Especially well-trained people. They're looking to mobilize the fat stores in their stomach, their midsection areas. So.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. You want your pants to fit looser. Not,
right.
You know, that's not going to happen if your biceps are losing fat. So,
right,
that's
right.
For sure. I think it's really great. I think it's good that you put this behind you and everybody else that is interested in this, because I think a lot of people obsess about this. And again, I think that it comes down to personal preference and convenience. If you are if you like doing fasted cardio, getting out of bed and waking up that way instead of a cup of coffee, it's great. If you want to eat something before and then hit the treadmill, it's great. You shouldn't stress out about it anymore or have any angst about, I should have done this morning before I ate, you know?
And those were our exact conclusions. Really, it kind of liberates you to say that, hey, it certainly doesn't seem to be any harm in doing fasted cardio, and there also doesn't seem to be doing any real benefit to the average person. And by the way, I do, before going, want to give a shout out to a couple of my research colleagues on this paper, Alan Aragon, who created all the diets. We customized diets for every subject, and it really helped, and Alan is a legend in the field. So we want to give a shout out to him, as well as James Krieger, who sometimes goes unrecognized as, again, one of the real pros in the business, and he ran the stats in the study and helped out with the design too. So it was a team effort, and couldn't have done it without them.
I was sitting here working yesterday, and I listened to older episodes of Superhuman Radio, which they stream constantly throughout the day. And I listened to a show that I did with James Krieger. I want to say it was back in 2007, when he did a review study about the ideal number of reps to build the most muscle.
And 2009, 2010. Yeah,
was that what it was?
2009, yeah, 9 and 10, yep.
I was still at Clear Channel at the time when I did that one with him.
Sure that was Strength and Conditioning.
Yeah,
it was 9 and 10.
Yeah, but I was listening to that. It's funny. Yeah, he was on the show back then as well. Yeah, I think it's great that this is done, and people can, like you said, just choose when you want to do your cardio and don't think that it's not going to be as effective. Let's plug your book real quick.
It's the Max Muscle Plan, available at all bookstores, Barnes & Noble, as well as certainly on Amazon. So the Max Muscle Plan, and my website is lookgreatnaked.com, all free info, and I have an active blog where I, as a matter of fact, I have a discussion of this very topic. I wrote up a whole review of it, as well as the practical implications, on my blog. So
have you heard from Bill Phillips by any chance?
I have not, actually, but I do keep in touch with his brother, Sean Phillips.
Yeah.
He's a good dude, and there's no issue with Bill there. Bill, as a matter of fact, I thought it was kind of cutting edge for him to think of it, but he was just going by what he knew at the time. It's not Bill Phillips. I think it's great that he did that, but ultimately, as a researcher, we want to then put these theories to the test. So he threw it out there. He said, look, there's some research that I think supports this concept, and without any other compelling evidence to suggest otherwise, I thought it was kind of a novel thing for him. So it's certainly no knock against Bill. Bill was a pioneer. So.
Yeah, no. I was just curious.
He has not reached out to me. I'd be happy to chat with him, though.
All right, listen, thanks for being on the show today, Brad.
As always, Carl.
Talk to you soon. All right, so here, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to be joined by Joshua Whipday. His story is compelling, and I promise you that whatever little aches and pains and obstacles you feel in your life, they're going to mean nothing after this interview. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Imagine if there was an organic, raw, extra virgin olive oil made from one-of-a-kind olives found in Sicily. And wouldn't it be amazing if the producer cared so much about the quality that they tested every batch for the important things that should be present in olive oil? Well, now there is. It's Papa Vince. For a limited time, you can get two bottles of Papa Vince 100% imported from Italy, organic, raw, EVOO, for $39. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the link and call recommends. Taste and feel the difference. Papa Vince. since 1935. Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it. Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date. Now available in two great tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dyes. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
New from the makers of Mass Pro Synthogen, Progenidrex is finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training. Won't disrupt endocrine function and no need to cycle off. Visit PredatorNutrition.com and Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormonal anabolics. Progenidrex.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin. Human by Rev Genetics today.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back. This is an episode of Muscle Saves Lives. I want to welcome from the UK, Joshua Whipday. How you doing, Joshua?
Doing good, thank you, Cal.
It's a pleasure to have you on the show. So first of all, we only have a half hour to cover this, so I'm going to keep things moving kind of fast. I want my audience to understand some things about your life. Talk about your birth and what your parents were told when you were born.
Yeah, so basically, when I was born, I was told, you know, my mother and father was told that I would never talk, never walk, and basically that I'd be in an electric wheelchair for my whole life.
And you were diagnosed with muscular dystrophy, correct?
No, not muscular dystrophy. Cerebral palsy.
I'm sorry, cerebral palsy. I apologize. Yeah. You were diagnosed with cerebral palsy at birth, and your parents were told, you know, don't hope for too much. He probably won't talk. He's going to be confined to an electric wheelchair for all of his life. And I'm sure that had to be heartbreaking for them.
Yeah, it was, I imagine it was a very hard time.
But you didn't, but when did you start to, realize that you didn't want to be confined by this prognosis? How old were you when you started to challenge this concept that you would be, in this situation, immobilized for the rest of your life? And how did your parents support that?
Well, everything in my life happened a bit more delayed than what the normal child would the stages of progression in a normal child was a lot quicker than it was in me. So basically, I didn't really actually walk until I was about 5 years old, and when I did walk, I walked with a walking frame. And then in terms of talking, my mother and father paid for speech therapy, which over time gradually brought on my talking.
Now, you have a brother who's involved in mixed martial arts, correct?
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
And he has a gym that you started to attend when you were about 14 years old. I know you're 19 now. Was this your first contact with physical culture?
No, actually, my first contact with physical culture was I trained in rugby at about 12 years old, and then I went on to obviously I couldn't actually play, so again I went on to mixed martial arts, which my brother's done all his life. He doesn't own the gym, but we knew the owner of the gym, so I started training there with a one-on-one satellite personal training. And then as I got, it actually improved my walking, my flexibility, my everything about my disability improved by doing mixed martial arts.
Right.
So, and then my coach, my trainer, he started me doing some light weights in the gym and some body weight exercises. And then this sort of took over from the mixed martial arts.
And so once you started to train with weights and do these body weight movements, you probably saw not only a greater degree of muscularity, but a greater degree of control on your body, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think the main thing that improved was actually my posture, because people with cerebral palsy are prone to having in rounded shoulders. So by training the muscles in my back, which helped me throw a harder punch, it actually brought my shoulders back and straightened my posture, which in turn makes my cerebral palsy more feasible to live with.
Now, when you turned 16, you saw the Stevie Z story. Who was Stevie Z? I don't know who Stevie Z is.
Stevie Z is a guy with cerebral palsy from in America, and he trained with a top bodybuilder at the time, and he actually competed in an able-bodied category. He didn't place, but he actually went through the phases of dieting and everything else and actually got up on stage with able-bodied people. And And when I saw this, it made me realize that I could compete. So that's when the bodybuilding really took a hold and, like, got really serious.
And so how frequently do you train in the gym right now, Joshua?
I do Monday to Saturday, and then I take Sunday off, so I do 6 days a week.
And do you have any favorite body parts that you like to train?
Funnily enough, my favorite body part is legs.
Really? And do you squat still?
Yeah, I do. I couldn't squat when I first started because my glutes was weak, which
right.
in turn made my knees go inwards. But over time, I've basically done what I could into strengthening my glutes, and now I can do squats and leg press with no problems at all.
That's awesome. Do you have a training partner that you train with?
I've been training 2 years before, like, proper. The first year and a half, I had a really consistent training partner who really knew what he was doing. And he taught me a lot about bodybuilding and nutrition. And it was when I was working with him that we actually discovered that my knees went in because my glutes was weak. So I trained with him and strengthened them up. And then he had to leave the and go to a different gym. So from then on, I trained with my brother. If not with my brother, on my own.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about your competition as a bodybuilder, because this is really exciting stuff. We're listening to Joshua Whipday. This is an episode of Muscle Saves Lives. Physical culture knows no bounds when it comes to changing lives. And if you think you have challenges in your life, listen to this interview and stop complaining. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, LivonLabs.com.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business. At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
If you want to connect with Joshua Whipday, you can do it here. Facebook, it's Joshua Whipday, WHIPDAYBB. And the same is true of Instagram and Twitter. Joshua Whipday BB, and Twitter is at Joshua Whipday BB. Check him out. This is really an impressive story. So many of us talk about overcoming adversity. Whatever your adversity is, it's nothing compared to this. And look what this young man has done. Okay, so two people stepped into your life that kind of gave you the idea of competing, I guess, right? That was, I'm looking for names here. Darren Winfield Stansby and Maria Pitlack. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Maria Pitlack,
okay.
Yeah.
So they approached you in the gym one day and they said, you know, you ought to try a bodybuilding competition, right?
They didn't approach in the gym. What happened is Darren seen me on Instagram, and he said that he thought I should do this show. And at the time, I thought I wasn't like nowhere near ready to compete. But he's a good friend of his, and runs a show called the Hercules Olympia, and it was hosting the first ever in the UK standing in disability category. So I just entered just for the experience of sort of going through the stages of dieting and all sorts of, just going through the motions there. And then I actually ended up in coming first at that show.
So you got up on stage in the first ever standing disability category of the Hercules Olympia in the UK, and competed against how many other guys were in the group?
At the time, there was only two other people in the group because it wasn't the first of its kind, so we didn't have a lot of people with disabilities who could stand up and show legs and compete like a normal bodybuilder. So there was only actually three in the category at the time, but now we have pushed in like 12 people.
Yeah, I bet. I bet a lot of people are going to be inspired now. You're really kind of like a trailblazer here as a result of this.
Yeah.
I'm looking at your physique on your Facebook page. Your conditioning is amazing. So who?
I think that's down to my coach. He tells me everything to do pre-contest, and he really gets me into good condition.
So your new love of bodybuilding has to have had an amazing impact, not only on your level of confidence, but on how you see your life, the potential within your life, right?
Yeah, definitely. Before I started training at the gym, I really wasn't a confident person. But over time, now I like to think that I'm quite confident, especially in the gym as well.
Is there a standing disability category in any of the competitions here in the United States right now?
I've recently been talking to somebody called Lee Thompson.
Oh, yeah, I know Lee. He's with the Lee Thompson is an IFBB judge.
And he set up a category called the Adaptive Category, and that's with MPC Texas. And I was chatting to him about going out there in March for the Phil Heath Classic. But I'm not sure if I'm going to go yet because obviously it's going to cost me a lot of money, so I'm thinking about storing it till next year.
Yeah, but this is where sponsors come in. You need to make some contacts. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Sorry. I was just saying at the moment, I'm sponsored by RSP Nutrition. You are based in Miami.
Yeah, and there's a Predator Nutrition right there in the UK, and they've got a lot of access to a lot of different companies that would be ideal to sponsor you. Do you know about Predator Nutrition?
Yeah. What was that, Sarah?
Are you aware of Predator Nutrition, the company there in the UK?
Yeah, I'm aware of them, yeah.
Okay. Do you have a contact there at Predator Nutrition?
I don't have a contact. No.
Okay. So after the show today, in about an hour or so from now, I'll email you and introduce you to the guy who owns, Reggie Joel, who owns Predator Nutrition. And maybe he can facilitate some contacts on your behalf and see if they can't find some sponsorship for you.
Yeah. Well, as I said, I'm currently sponsored by RSP Nutrition, and I just signed a contract with them.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
That's great. Okay. Anyway, what do you want people to take away from your story?
I think just never take no for an answer, because if I did, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now.
Yeah. Don't take no for an answer. It's the truth. If you have desire, as long as you have desire in your life, things can happen. There's no doubt about that. Joshua Whipday, if you want to connect with Joshua Whipday, you can go to Facebook, and his Facebook page is facebook.com/ Joshua Whipday BB. That's the same name to use in Instagram. And of course, Whipday is W-H-I-P-D-A-Y. And Twitter as well, A marvelous story. I applaud you. I think it's wonderful. It's inspiring. And it can affect all of us. Thanks for being on the show, Joshua.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for the opportunity and having me on the show. I'm really grateful.
Oh, it's wonderful. Thank you for taking the time to be on the show. And we'll talk to you again soon, okay?
Yeah, that sounds good. Thank you.
Okay. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to be joined by Dr. Howe. And we're going to talk about how exercise and diet affects hunger and energy uptake. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing, and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to BrooksCubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to BrooksCubic.com right now.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin. Human by Rev Genetics today.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Hey, welcome back. You know, there are a lot of people out there who think that if you want to lose weight, exercise is not the right thing to do because it increases appetite. Gary Taubes is one of the people who talked about that on my show a couple years ago. It may and it may not. I think there's lots of variables that come into play here. And my next guest is Dr. Stephanie Howe. How you doing, Dr. Howe?
I'm good, thank you.
And you recently published a paper called "The Role of Exercise and Diet on Appetite and Energy Uptake." So,
yep.
What was the premise of this study? Why did you produce this study?
So there's been a lot of, like you said, controversy just surrounding the use of exercise as a means of weight loss and whether or not it increases or suppresses appetite post-exercise. And so what we looked at was just a small, we reviewed a bunch of articles that have done studies on this topic, and then we looked at a small subset because there's so many different variables. And so there does seem to be a trend within endurance exercise, specifically running, where appetite is suppressed following a bout of exercise. And this seems to be unique to running due to the jarring of the stomach.
Really?
What happens is, yeah. So what happens is there's various signals that control appetite, internal and external. And one of those internal signals is called gut hormones, gut appetite hormones.
Yeah.
So they're released from your stomach.
Cholecystokinin, is GLP-1
yep.
one of them? Yeah, right.
GLP-1 yeah. and TYY are the two
yes.
that really seem to be in response to exercise. Yeah, so those are usually released in response to food intake, but there is some evidence that has shown that after exercise, specifically running, that those two hormones are elevated. And what that does is it circulates through the blood, goes into the brain, and suppresses appetite. And
wow.
So, yeah, and it seems to be intensity dependent as well. And different between trained and untrained individuals. So there's a lot of variables that are going into this.
So let's explore it. And you know, that has to mean that jumping rope could be beneficial too, because jumping rope would cause that same up and down jarring effect.
Right. Yeah, there's been studies that have looked at jump rope as well. And it seems to be more of a load-bearing type of exercise that produces those results rather than something such as spinning where, you know, you don't quite have those same effects.
Right. You know, I've been actually doing research into this whole premise of moving the gut up and down
mm-hmm.
because this is totally, I'm just mentioning this, because there's a epidemic of hiatal hernias that's tied to other gut issues. And one of the ways that they talk about resolving the hiatal hernia, besides just changing your diet, is this up and down motion that
yes.
pulls the overgrowth of flesh back down where it belongs. So we don't think about our guts as, you know, being a kind of moving on its own, right? Nobody thinks about their viscera when they're moving and what's going on inside them, but these things are moving
right.
around. Pretty cool.
Right, exactly. Yes.
So let's get deeper into this. So you said there's other variables involved. So running seems to suppress appetite, but resistance training probably does not, right?
Most of the studies have not shown a change with resistance exercise. Yes.
But
there's still a lot of I feel like work to be done in this area, but for right now it doesn't seem that resistance exercise produces the same results.
And see, from an evolutionary perspective, that makes sense because your body would have to supercompensate. I'm not learned. I don't have any degrees or anything like that. But from an evolutionary perspective, we look at what the body is trying to do when it does what it does.
Mm-hmm.
If your body is challenged to move heavy weight, then the body wants to supercompensate for the next time it has to do that, and it wants to add muscle. So the natural thing would be to increase. But if you're running long distances, the body wants to supercompensate for that by shedding unnecessary body weight in case you have to run that long distance again.
Well, yes, and that could be part of the response. But one thing that, and specifically what I've been interested in is sort of from the performance standpoint.
Uh-huh.
So during running, what you're doing is you're breaking down your body for energy. It's a very catabolic activity, whereas weight training is an anabolic activity.
Mm-hmm.
So you're lifting weights, you build up muscle. Running, you're breaking everything down for energy. And
right.
so in terms of performance and recovery, what you need to do immediately after you're done running is get some fuel in to start that recovery process.
Mm-hmm.
But the catch-22 is, that's the time you need to do it right after. There's a window of about 30 to 45 minutes. But that's also the time that your appetite is suppressed.
Interesting.
And so it's very difficult, you know, to finish a hard run and want to eat a little bit of a snack.
Right.
And so that's where it comes in. Okay, we know you need to do this for performance. But then also on the other end of the spectrum for weight loss, you know, using those periods of time where appetite is suppressed can be beneficial for those who are trying to take in less energy to lose weight.
How
kind of interesting in both regards.
Yeah. How severe, or I'm trying to think of the a word that the jarring of the stomach, is it just running? What about what about walking at a fast pace if you purposely are kind of, you know, allowing yourself to impact the ground hard?
You know, I don't believe that the intensity is high enough for that to happen.
Okay.
One thing, and a study that I'm doing right now is looking at the difference in intensity. I'm doing a moderate intensity run and a high intensity run, and measuring the differences in those hormones and in the subject's subjective appetite. So, how hungry do they feel? And the moderate intensity doesn't seem to produce the same feelings of appetite suppression as the high intensity. And so walking, even though you might be jarring the stomach a little bit, the intensity is low enough that the blood flow can still go to the gut. It's not, you know, being directed to the working muscles, so that you don't quite have those same feelings.
Now, what about the difference between trained and untrained, since you mentioned that a moment ago?
That's a great question. And the answer is still really yet to be determined. Most studies have looked at sedentary or overweight obese individuals just because, you know, that's where the concern for health is right now. But it seems in endurance-trained individuals, they are used to that response. So, you know, they might, they're more in tune with their body's energy needs. So, and someone who is not accustomed to exercise, they might experience that appetite suppression, and it might continue longer, or they might overcompensate for it later when their appetite has returned. Someone who does exercise on a day-to-day basis, they're going to be more used to that feeling. So they might be better able to match their energy expenditure to their energy intake.
Interesting.
So, it is very interesting.
Is there a gender difference also?
There does seem to be a gender difference. There are a few studies that have looked at women right now. So that, again, the study that I'm doing is one of the first studies that have looked at active women to see what the difference is. And clearly there's, you know, big differences in men and women just in terms of their, you know, their body composition,
hormonal
fitness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. And their hormones. And, you know, females have, other hormones that may or may not affect their appetite.
That darn pesky estrogen. No, I'm kidding.
Yes, that would be one of them.
The scientific, I joke because we talked about this several months ago, that the scientific community, when they do, you know, studies on animals, they use male animals typically, and it's, and it's because of that darn pesky estrogen. You know, it's like, we don't want to, you know, it's so funny.
Females are so much more difficult to study. Yeah, if you have to, you have to account for the menstrual cycle. So
well, not only that, exactly. Where they are in the menstrual cycle itself plays a role on what the body will do with exercise and nutrition. And then you have peri and postmenopausal women. That's a whole new, that's a whole different stratosphere of variables. When you have women who are starting to lose their estrogen, we know that estrogen is actually lipolytic. It helps to get rid of body fat. And so when women start losing their estrogen, they start putting on body fat.
Yep. So women, they have all of that going for them. And then also women, opposed to men, tend to self-select diets that are lower or higher in water content. So they're called lower energy dense foods. And those are things like vegetables, fruit, yogurt. Yeah.
Watercress.
They contain more water per gram weight, so they're going to fill you up faster, so women are tending to get less energy. And so, you know, when we talk about appetite, that plays a role as well. So there's multiple factors.
Here's what I want to do. I want to take an early break because I want to come back and talk a little bit about diet, okay?
Yeah.
All right, we're talking right now with Dr. Stephanie Howe. We're talking about how exercise and diet play a role in appetite. Very, very interesting discussion. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing, and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre-, intra-, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N Labs.com.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support, to weight management, to nervous system support, to detox and cleansing, and more. Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Stephanie Howe. We're talking about the role of exercise and diet on appetite and energy uptake. We're going to talk a little bit about diet, since Dr. Howe mentioned the types of diets that women gravitate to.
Mm-hmm.
Does diet play a role in appetite and exercise?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. The type of diet that you select and also the timing of your food intake can really play a role in your appetite. And it's different depending on what type of individual you are. So for those who are seeking performance, their diet is going to look a little bit different than those who are seeking weight loss. You know, just the timing of different nutrients and your food intake is going to play a role in what your goal is.
Well, and also about, we're really, appetite is what drives this whole discussion, right?
Yes.
Okay, so.
Yes.
So let's talk about, let's take first the non-performance minded person, the person who's looking for fat loss.
Mm-hmm.
What is going to, what dietary strategies are going to affect appetite?
So, you know, there's things that you can eat, like proteins and fats,
right,
tend to produce a more satiety, so you feel full longer. So that's one thing. And I'm also a sports nutritionist. I work as a coach and sports nutritionist. So I work with people who are trying to lose weight. And one thing that I do recommend is that they include foods that have, you know, protein and fat, because it is going to make them feel full longer. But you need all three nutrients. And then another thing to keep in mind with weight loss is keeping just sort of a steady stream of energy intake throughout the day, because what you want to do is keep your blood sugar in a pretty stable condition. You don't want to, you want to avoid those spikes and dips, because those are what's going to make you feel hungry, feel irritable, and have you tend to make poor choices later on in the day. So for those eating or trying to lose weight, eating foods that contain, you know, all three nutrients, especially some protein and fat, in smaller quantities throughout the day is going to be more helpful, you know, than trying to fast the whole day and then, you know, eat a healthy meal at night.
Well, and it's funny you say that, because well, hold on to that also just for a second.
Yeah.
Because, the you know, intermittent fasting is making its rounds right now. Thanks,
yeah,
to people like David Zizinko, the editor of Men's Health Magazine, who wrote a book based on intermittent fasting as a diet mode. You know, mm-hmm, intermittent fasting can work, but there's a lot that you have to take into account. Like when you come off your fast, you can't just eat garbage and lots of it.
Right, right. And kind of my stance on that is that, you know, it's not a very sustainable way to live.
Yeah.
You know, it is hard if you say you can't have a cookie. You can have everything you want. The thing is, what you're going to crave the most is a cookie. And the same with fasting. You know, you're depriving your body of all these nutrients that it needs to stay healthy. And then when you come off of that, it's going to be really hard to control the floodgates. And it's a much more sustainable way to live and to eat, to just be mindful and to eat, you know, it sounds really simple, but to just eat proper quantities of the right nutrients throughout the day. Easier said than done.
Yeah. I have experimented with fasting and I've had success with it, but it requires, mm-hmm, a lot of discipline when you break the fast, the food choices you have, number one. Number two.
Yes.
You can't break your fast 3 hours before bedtime and eat like an animal and go, well, I only ate 1500 calories today. It was all in one meal. Now I'm going to go to sleep. Because as we learned yesterday on the show yesterday, that, or was it the day before yesterday? I apologize. That late night snacking is handled differently by the body, and it does produce body fat. And so, mm-hmm, you know, fasting is one of those things that's evolving. I think there's a value in it. I hate to even call it intermittent fasting. As my audience is probably knows, I refer to it as a more ancestral meal frequency. But our ancestors, mm-hmm, you know, when we look at, everybody loves to look at our ancestors, you know, they didn't wake up first thing in the morning always and have all this food. Sometimes they had to go and find food or make food. And so, mm-hmm, there was a 12 to 13, maybe 14 hour period from when they went to sleep to when they had their first meal. But it wasn't, mm-hmm, 24 hours. You know what I mean? It wasn't this long, the whole day,
right,
thing that people are making it. That's all.
Yeah. And one thing with the fasting too is the energy expenditure, or your metabolic rate. So everyone has a certain amount of energy that's required to keep their body alive. And when you're fasting, sometimes that metabolism will get suppressed. And so you don't have the energy availability. You don't need as many calories, as much energy intake to survive. And so that's one thing that, you know, eating on a more consistent basis can help with, to maintain your metabolism. But it is very different from, you know, how our ancestors lived to how we live today. And, you know, they didn't have all of these modern conveniences, you know, a kitchen pantry stocked with, you know, every food you could ever imagine when they woke up in the morning.
Right, so, and they didn't sit all day either.
So, they didn't sit all day either. Yeah, so, you know, we have to be a little bit more mindful in making sure that we choose the right foods and that we choose to move, because it's really easy to not do any of those unless you make a point to.
So what about, as you pointed out going into the break, you know, women tend to gravitate towards salads and things that are not nutrient dense. How does that affect their appetite when we put exercise into the context?
Well, foods that are higher in water content tend to make you feel full. And so those foods will fill you up. You'll feel full. But they just mean that you're taking in less energy. And for someone who's trying to lose weight, those are the foods that you want to emphasize. Oh. Because for less energy, you're going to feel just as full. A lot of fiber, not too much fiber that you're going to be running to the bathroom, but enough fiber to help fill you, keep you full, and not provide as much energy. But on the other end of the spectrum, those foods tend to have less energy. So when you are exercising, you need to make sure that you're getting enough energy. So there's kind of, you know, again, it's a spectrum, and people fall at different parts on the spectrum.
So where does timing of meals come into? So I'm thinking of what you're saying. So I'm thinking, okay, yeah. So this is an easy one. If I'm looking to lose weight, I'm going to gravitate towards the foods that are less nutrient dense, more water dense throughout the day, except maybe pre and post workout.
That's a great example. Yep. And, you know, there's a lot of controversy surrounding when to consume your meals. And the studies that I have looked at, and this is what I tell my clients as well, I think it's best to do exercise in a, you know, in a fed state. So not getting up fasted and doing your exercise first thing in the morning, but getting up, having a small meal. It doesn't have to be large. It can be, you know, half a banana, just something to get your blood glucose up. Doing your exercise and then having a snack or a breakfast after. When you do your exercise in a fasted state, that can break down your body, you know, and you're going to be using more of your stores for energy. But after that exercise, your appetite is going to be much higher. And the studies that have looked at the difference between exercise in a fed versus fasted state have found that those who exercise in a fasted state tend to consume more throughout the day following the exercise.
So
if weight loss is really your goal, eating a little before you exercise is probably a good idea.
This is a great tie-in because the first half hour of today's show, we had Dr. Brad Schoenfeld on. He just performed a study, does fasted cardio really burn more fat? And they looked at individuals over the course of 7 days, not just the acute effects of fasted cardio. And they found out that there's no difference. It's you know, you're not burning more body fat by doing fasted cardio. So why torture yourself?
Exactly. And one thing is, you know, in a fasted state, usually the quality of your workout is a little bit lower.
Yeah.
You know, you can't quite push yourself to the same extent as if you have just a little bit. And I'm not talking about you need to go to, you know,
bacon and eggs,
you don't need to have all of that before. You can have a small snack. It can be a banana, it can be a bar, it can be a piece of toast. Do your workout, and
but should it be something that affects blood glucose? Like, in other words, a tablespoon of coconut oil is probably not the best thing for the pre-workout meal.
No, you want something that you can use immediately, so something that's high in carbohydrate, probably not a ton of fiber, so it, you know, doesn't give you any GI, any gut distress, and something that can be easily absorbed by the body. So my favorite thing pre-workout is a piece of toast with peanut butter and a banana. And that kind of gives me a little bit of everything. It's easy to digest, and yet it still has a little bit of fat and protein, to give a little satiety.
What if I don't eat grains, which is a very big segment of people today?
It is a big chunk of people. You know, you could have something in place. You could have rice. I guess that is a grain still. You could have a more fruit-based, you know, like a fruit salad with yogurt.
Do I want a slow carb? Do I want a white potato, or do I want a sweet potato?
You want something that's more simple. So, I mean, a white potato is going to be a little bit more digested, a little bit faster and available to your body. And that's what you're looking for right before exercise. You know, we talk about, you know, what you want in your diet, and we say complex carbohydrates and fiber, and those are all things you want, you know, outside of exercise. When we're talking about pre, during, and post-exercise, those are the times that you actually want those simple foods because they can be digested and used much quicker.
Yeah, and that, and see, I actually am cutting grains, by the way. That's why it's a selfish question. You know what? I'm doing the elimination diet right now.
Okay.
I've developed some gut issues. And so I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm going to just eliminate all the things that everybody else says seem to be offenders. I'm eliminating dairy. And so, you know, oatmeal is not an option for me in the morning, although that's too slow. But I have plenty of potatoes. I have plenty of fruit. Mm-hmm. So fruit and potato. And I would imagine potatoes would be better than fruit if push came to shove, because fruit is fructose. It's got it's a step away from becoming glucose. One more step away from becoming glucose.
Yes, but it has both. So I actually think fruit would be an okay choice.
Okay.
Because, and this is getting kind of geeking out and
no good.
Here,
our audience loves geeking out.
You have different receptors in your stomach to get different types of carbohydrate across your gut and into your blood for use. And fructose is actually on a different receptor than glucose. And so fruit will contain both types. It will contain, it's higher in fructose, but it does contain other carbohydrate as well. And so by eating a piece of fruit, you might be able to get, it might be more available to your body than something that just uses the glucose.
So I see it like instead of them getting in line, they each have their own door to get in at the same time.
That's a great way to look at it. Yes, that is exactly correct.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking more. We're talking right now with Dr. Stephanie Howe. We're talking about how diet and exercise affect appetite. Depends on what side of the spectrum you're on. If you're a performance athlete, or you're looking to lose body fat, you're going to want different things. But this show is explaining what you need. Stay tuned.
Imagine if there was an organic, raw, extra virgin olive oil made from one-of-a-kind olives found in Sicily. And wouldn't it be amazing if the producer cared so much about the quality that they tested every batch for the important things that should be present in olive oil? Well, now there is. It's Papa Vince. For a limited time, you can get two bottles of Papa Vince 100% imported from Italy, organic, raw, EVOO, for $39. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the link and call recommends. Taste and feel the difference. Papa Vince since 1935. Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to Primal-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date. Now available in two great tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
New from the makers of Mass Pro Synthogen, Progenidrex is finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training. Won't disrupt endocrine function and no need to cycle off. Visit PredatorNutrition.com and Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormonal anabolics. Progenidrex.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin. Human by Rev Genetics today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Stephanie Howe. We're talking about how exercise and diet affects appetite. Elisa Profumo, who is my executive, executive producer, says she likes to eat rice cakes with almond butter before she does cardio in the morning.
So yeah.
That's a good choice.
Yeah. That's a good choice. It's got a little bit fast absorbing carbohydrate and then a little bit of fat and protein on top.
What was most amazing of the research that you reviewed that kind of jumped out at you when you were doing this paper?
You know, the thing that really jumped out at me is that there's so much unknown still. You know, there's so many different types of exercise, different intensities of exercise that make a difference in the appetite response. And then each individual, you know, in terms of gender, of age, of training, fitness level, all go into the equation to determine appetite and energy intake. So to me, it was fascinating to look into this and learn that, you know, there's so much that goes into eating. You know, it's not just a conscious thought process, but there's all of these internal signals and what we do in our lifestyle can really determine, you know, our appetite. And there's so many things.
I mean,
that was really cool to me.
It sounds to me just as, you know, like a cursory review of what we've talked about, that if someone is interested in losing body fat, that the ideal thing would be to incorporate the type of movement like running or jumping rope that jars the gut, to incorporate a pre- and post-workout meal of some nutrient density, and then the rest of the day just eat things that are filling but less nutrient dense, like salads and vegetables and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I would prescribe. Again, I work as a sports nutritionist and an exercise physiologist coach, and so I, you know, people who are trying to lose weight, exactly what I would prescribe is for them to get up, have a little, you know, a small little meal, and then the type of exercise that's going to give them the most results, it would be high-intensity exercise. So it doesn't necessarily have to be running because that's not appropriate for all individuals, but something that involves intervals or faster periods where you get your heart rate up. That, you know, it's a myth that the fat-burning zone, you know, is a lower intensity. You are going to burn, percentage-wise, more fat, but high-intensity, you're going to burn more energy expenditure, or your energy expenditure is going to be higher, and you're going to lose weight, lose fat quicker when you do that. So, you know, get up, have your snack, do your high-intensity exercise, then have your post-exercise snack, and then throughout the day, eat foods that have a lower energy content. So things like whole grains, fruits, vegetables, lean meats, you know, throughout the rest of your day, just as you said.
You know, the other thing is to make sure that you're not losing muscle at a faster rate than you need to as part of the weight you're losing. So keeping your protein in those high, those pre and post workout meals, especially within that window, in fact, and getting the majority of all your protein that you need for that day in that window is critical.
It is, but it's also, it's not as hard to get protein as people think. You definitely want to maintain your muscle mass as you lose weight because that muscle requires more energy than fat. So you want to keep that muscle mass on so that your metabolism stays high. And so, you know, by eating a post-exercise snack, ideally you actually want a 4-to-1 ratio of carbohydrate to protein. So you don't have to think about protein loading. You want to think about eating something that has carbohydrate because that's going to replace the substrate that was lost, glycogen or glucose that was lost, and then the protein is going to help with muscle repair. Now, when you're doing resistance exercise, you need slightly more protein to stimulate the buildup of muscle, but it's not as hard to get as you would think. You don't need to eat a huge steak after you do your exercise. Something like milk or dairy products, you know, a piece of fruit with nut butter, that's going to provide enough protein for you.
Wait a minute. Just a piece of fruit and nut butter?
Yes.
No, that's not enough protein.
Couple tablespoons of nut butter on there.
Yeah, but that's 5 grams of protein, and it's not even, okay, so I have to beg you to endure this question, okay?
Okay.
Leucine stimulates mTOR, and we know that in a dairy protein environment, 3 grams of leucine is where the magic requisite amount is that stimulates mTOR, and especially post-workout. So in order to get 3 grams of leucine from a high-quality dairy protein, you would have to say a whey protein, not a whey protein concentrate. You would need at least 25 to 30 grams of protein. There's no way there's 3 grams of leucine and 2 tablespoons of nut butter.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a good point. One thing that is, you know, it's hard to give, like, strict recommendations or general recommendations, rather, for each individual because everyone is so different. You know, the amount of protein that your body needs is based on your body weight.
Right, and your amount of muscle you carry, right, yeah.
Right, and so coming from the endurance world and from, you know, working with a lot of small runners, my kind of idea of amount of protein, just absolute amount of protein might be less than what it would be for someone who is a strength trained athlete. But I guess my point being is that protein isn't as hard to get.
No, I agree, as
we think. You don't have to seek out protein supplements like powders. Usually you can get most of what you need through real food sources.
You know, I would say one of my favorite things to eat is tuna fish. Mm-hmm. Tuna fish is very high in protein. A small can of tuna fish has, 39 grams of protein if you eat the whole can.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you make a tuna fish sandwich, maybe with a little mayonnaise or a wrap or something. There you go. There's your 40 grams of protein between the protein and the wrap and everything. That's it. So I agree with you. It's not hard to seek out, but you do have to think about it a little bit.
Yeah, and the thing that I like about the example you just gave is those are all real foods that have other nutrients associated with them as well. So vitamins, minerals, fiber, you're getting all of those healthy nutrients. Whereas if you just, you know, take a protein powder supplement, it's going to be kind of devoid of anything else.
Yes, yes.
So I like to recommend the whole food.
As much
as possible.
After my workout today, I had 6 hard-boiled eggs. That's all I had time for. I was driving to the studio, but you know what? It's got vitamin B in it. It's got lecithin in it. It's got other things that I need. And that was 36 grams of protein. Well, no, it was 42 grams of protein.
Eggs are a great, great healthy choice.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's do this. Let's take our last commercial break, and when we come back, we'll wrap up the interview. We're talking right now with Dr. Stephanie Howe. We're talking about how exercise and the diet you choose affects appetite. We'll be right back.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre-, intra-, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N Labs.com.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Stephanie Howe. We're talking about the effects of diet and exercise on appetite. Dr. Howe, what about the trainee that is looking to add muscle and maybe fat isn't really a big concern? How would they look at this information?
So resistance training type exercise?
Yeah, yeah, bodybuilding, powerlifting, maybe even, you know, obviously.
Yeah, so for that type of exercise, the timing of protein intake is actually really important. So, you know, going in and doing your workout and then immediately getting protein after is going to stimulate that anabolic buildup of muscle. When protein isn't available, the ability to build muscle following the resistance exercise is lower than if you have protein available, because you need those proteins to help build up your muscles. So for those individuals, the timing of the nutrient intake is really important.
But it sounds to me like if you wanted to, you know, there's within the bodybuilding community, there's, you know, people are bulking up, which to me, mm-hmm. it's kind of like eating with reckless abandon, at all costs adding weight. That's it. Who cares what the weight is, right?
But
if you wanted to add muscle with the least amount of body fat acquisition, mm-hmm. it seems that you would still use the same model as the person looking for fat loss, except maybe you would be a little bit heavier on your protein pre and post workout, and maybe even the meal directly after the post workout, but then taper it back off to the, you know, fibrous, watery vegetables and stuff like that the rest of the day.
Exactly. Right. You can't just eat whatever you want all day, because as you said, you'll just put on more fat mass. And so, you know, those people have to be really conscious of what they eat. You can't just eat with reckless abandonment. So you do need to eat a little bit more protein in that post-exercise meal. And then your energy intake throughout the whole day might be a little bit higher, just because more muscle mass requires more energy. But you still need to make good food choices. You know, you still need to eat those fruits and vegetables and whole grains that have a higher water content, lower energy density, to maintain a healthy body composition, because you don't want to just put on fat mass.
You know, I'm thinking like chicken breast and salad, or salmon fillet and salad as, you know, the latter meals. Just getting your protein, getting a high-quality whole food protein in, and then just use the rest of the room in your gut for salad.
Yep, that's a great way to think of it. And when I think of building my plate at night, and what I recommend to my clients is start with some sort of base, and I recommend grains. I'm a believer in carbohydrates, so I start with a grain base. Now that can be, you know, some other food if you're avoiding grains. Then put vegetables on top of that, a lot of dark leafy greens, because those have a lot of important nutrients in them that are going to help you absorb, you know, some of the macronutrients. And then whatever is seasonal produce. So right now we're kind of on the tail end of fall, but there's a lot of things like squash,
zucchini,
that are in season,
yeah
that are going to have some good nutrients in them. And then top that with a lean protein. So chicken breast is a great example. Grilled salmon, that's probably one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, drizzle some sort of fat, because a lot of those vitamins and minerals you can't absorb without fat. So olive oil, you know, an olive oil-based dressing, avocado, those are some of my favorite things to put on top.
I love avocado. I could eat avocado 3 or 4 times a day.
And
I love
so
it
good.
That much. Yeah.
So
and
such a healthy food.
I drizzle my avocado with Papa Vince olive oil, which is the most unique olive oil around, and then I sprinkle some salt on it. Because,
yeah, that sounds delicious.
Oh, man. It's so good.
Yep.
Anyway, I
want
to thank you so much for taking time to come on the show and talk about this. This is a really great study. I love this kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, it was great. It's exciting for me to share what I've learned. So
yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you're welcome back. Next time you publish something, just email us and we'll get you on the air. How does that sound?
Sounds great. Thank you.
Take care. All right, so there you have it. What a great show. How we started out with Dr. Brad Schoenfeld dispelling the myth about the importance of fasted cardio, followed up with a wonderful, inspiring story by Joshua Whipday in that episode of Muscle Saves Lives, and in that case, Muscle Changes Lives. And then finish up with Dr. Stephanie Howe giving us a real easy template to follow, depending on whether we're looking to add muscle or lose body fat or add muscle without adding any body fat. What a great show. I don't know about you, but if I wasn't on this side of the microphone, I'd be on your side listening to this show right now. Anyway, thank you for listening to Superhuman Radio today, and we'll see you tomorrow.